Today on Vox Talks, how global warming will increase conflict. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Many conflicts around the developing world have their roots in clashes between herders and farmers. As the climate changes, what does this mean for the number and the scale of these conflicts? Dominic Rona of the University of Lausanne and the CEPR is one of the authors of a new discussion paper that estimates the impact that climate change is having now on these conflicts and what this tells us about the future. Dominic, welcome back to Vox Talks.
Yes, hello. Thanks a lot for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dominic, it's quite hard to think about this when you're not in the situation. So what examples are there of how farmers and herders are in conflict today in Africa?
Many conflicts between herders and farmers, for example, in the Sahel zone, have been covered quite extensively in the media in recent years. Take, for example, an incident that was covered widely among others in The Economist. So in April 2018, for example, there was an attack on a church in Nigeria that left at least 19 people dead. And that was rooted in violence between nomadic herders and farmers in the country's middle belt. And sadly, various similar incidents have occurred in recent years.
And what's the impact, the wider impact of these conflicts on the people who are caught up in them?
Armed conflict in general are very detrimental to humans and to society on a variety of levels. So they lead to fatalities, to physical and economic destruction. They also deplete intergroup trust and can lead to persisting grievances and hate between groups. In terms of economic effects, for example, according to estimates of Paul Collier and others, a full-blown war can destroy as much as 10% of GDP or more of a given country. So they can have a very negative effect indeed.
And does this arise out of the cultural difference between these two groups, or is it something more sophisticated than that?
Yeah, so that was one of the questions we've asked ourselves in this paper. So we kind of performed a horse race between cultural factors and resource competition. And what we find is that, if anything, resource competition between these herding and farming groups is kind of key. So if anything, that's more important than cultural factors. And there's something, as we discussed in the paper, that policy can do about it. So it's not like a hardwired hatred that will persist forever, but there's something we can solve and that we can do something about it.
And I can sort of guess what you might say to this, but in what ways then is climate change likely to make these conflicts worse?
Well, climate change makes it harder for herding group to feed their livestock by remaining in their usual perimeter of mobility. And so they tend to increase the radius of geographical mobility because they just can't feed their cattle. And this means that they will encounter other groups they've not encountered before, and that can lead to further clashes, to competition about rare resources.
You gave us a couple of anecdotes of how this conflict arises and where it is, but of course you want to quantify this, and I guess your first job to do that then is to measure the level and the type of conflict that there is in each location in Africa. So how can you do that?
Yeah, so for that, we rely on existing work. So we stand on the shoulders of giants, and we just take off the shelf, if you like, existing data sets on that. The data like ACLED or UCDP GED, there are also other data sets like EDELT or SCAD that provide very granular information on where exactly and when exactly what kinds of fighting events take place. And this data has led to a revolution in the economics of conflict, with an unprecedented boom and various great research papers coming out using this kind of data.
And then you have to link that to a causal effect of climate change. So I guess you have to sort of link the amount of climate change that there is in each place with the amount of conflict there is in each place. How do you do that?
Yeah, so what we first do is really we estimate the impact of temperature shocks on conflict.
Mm.
And we estimate this effect of temperature shock depending on whether we are in the presence of mixed cells where we have at the same time herders and settlers, or whether it's a cell that is not a mixed cell. And so we estimate these parameters, and then we kind of quantify the impact of climate change by factoring in the local warming effects due to climate change in various locations. We know that not every place on Earth is affected to the same extent. Some places, they heat up much more than others in terms of climate change. And so taking into account the estimated effect of temperature on conflict and also how much warming a given location experiences, we are able to simulate, if you like, the effect of climate change on conflict.
Can you be sure that this is a causal effect?
So the identifying variation of this causal relationship that we exploit is the shock in temperature. And to the extent that this is exogenous, that the local communities cannot kind of control their temperature, but it's rather Mother Nature that gives temperature shocks to them, we can think of it as a causal effect indeed.
So the question, Dominic, how big is the effect of climate change on conflict?
If we were kind of running the regressions of the previous literature without taking into account the settler-herder effects that we focus on in this paper, what we would find is that on a continental level for Africa, climate-induced conflicts would increase by 26%.
Mm.
But this number goes up to 33%, so a third more, when factoring in the magnifying effect of mixed settlements. And so we find a very sizable effect when taking into account this addition channel, if you like, of herder-settler violence.
That is a very big effect, isn't it? Does it vary much region to region?
Yes, indeed. So the Sahel zone is particularly hard hit. In the Sahel, both in terms of mixed settlements, there are many of mixed settlements there in the Sahel zone, and also there is quite high local warming due to climate change there as well. So they're affected in two ways, disproportionately much, both in terms of having a lot of these mixed settlements that magnify the climate change effect on conflict, and also because climate change is affecting them very much in terms of the heat going up more than in other places. And so when we zoom on the Sahel zone, the aforementioned number they gave in the last question, they become even larger, actually. So we even get 40% increase in conflict when ignoring settlement patterns. And when we take into account this new heterogeneity between mixed and non-mixed cells, then it even goes up to 54%. So it's very worrying, a very high number.
So what's the mechanism here? How does the change in the climate translate into increased conflict between farmers and herders?
We were also asking ourselves this question. To answer it, we performed a fine-grained analysis at the group level for the Sahel zone, where this is a particularly big problem. So more specifically, what we do is we show that spikes in temperature in the ethnic homelands of a given nomadic group tend to increase the spatial distance between its fighting operations and its homeland. So they travel more. They're forced to travel more because their cattle is starving. We can document in our data that this increased geographic radius of mobility. And we find that indeed the spatial spread of violence is magnified for events that are linked to disputes over resources and that take place in cells with water supply. So that are really kind of, there is resource competition going on about rare resources like water.
So given that we seem to be on a conflict escalator that's only going one way, do we need to find new ways to manage these conflicts, or should we be strengthening existing institutions, whether they're formal or informal in some way? What can we do to reduce this increase?
In the old days, before too much climate change in recent decades, there were informal arrangements, some of them somewhat fragile, but still working between groups that have known each other for a long time and that could find ways to cut deals and to get along. Now, the problem is that with climate change, the radius of mobility has to go up because of the cattle that needs to be fed. And so in this sense, now groups meet other groups and they don't benefit from this established relationships with informal arrangements. And so that's when conflicts can erupt. And what can help, what we find in the paper, is that formal institutions, for example, coherent democratic institutions, the protection of property rights, land dispute resolution mechanisms are key factors that can attenuate this conflict-fueling effect of heat shocks. Before that, usually the groups may be informal arrangements would be enough to get along. Now, when new groups meet each other because of the increased mobility to escape these temperature shocks, well, now formal institutions, dispute resolution mechanisms, property rights protection, etc., are key factors that can help reduce this risk of conflict.
Well, it's going to be a big challenge in the near future for policy, and a very high stakes challenge at that. But Dominic, thank you for bringing it to our attention with this research. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks so much for your time.
You want to read the paper that's behind all of this? It is DP15542 at the CEPR. It's called Heat and Hate, Climate Security and Farmer Herder Conflicts in Africa. And the authors are Ulrich Eberle, Dominic Garona and Matthias Tonick. And for all of you who are subscribers to Vox Talks, if you recognise Matthias's name, well, that's because we talked to him a couple of weeks ago about research into the choices that refugees from conflict zones face. So another interesting piece of research there. I would recommend you listen to that if you haven't yet. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks. You'll never miss an episode. And remember, you can find 10 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.